I'm Lisa Rossi, and I'm interviewing my grandparents, Lulu Sweet and Harriet Sweet.
What do you want to know?
Where were you born and where'd you go?
I was born in the town of Milan, Michigan, in 8th of July, 1915. And I grew up there till I was 14 and a half years old about when I left. Then I came to Monroe. And then when I lived there, I used to have to go and do the chores. We went to 3 miles to school. And then we'd have to walk home for our dinner sometimes, and sometimes we'd stop to a little lunch place there and get a bowl of soup. And then...
just here in Monroe?
No, in Milan. And then I would help my dad in the wintertime buzz wood for heat in the winter. And then we burned wood all the time. We didn't have coal at that time. We had wood stoves. And we used to gather the eggs and feed the chickens and haul in wood for my mother's cook stove. She used to bake bread every Monday. And then that was our chore that we had to do. And then sometimes we'd have to feed the cows and the horses. And then we'd go fishing in the summertime and swimming. And oh, we had lots of games that we played that night. We used to play hide and go seek and cards, and we'd get all the neighbor kids would get together and come over, and we'd had a barn. We used to hide in the barn and slide down the hay and all that stuff. And then we'd make a trapeze on the outside of the barn, and we'd make we were in the circus, and we'd do all kind of stunts on the trapeze. And my mother got worried about that, we'd fall, so we had to take that down. Then I used to be in the Golden Gloves. We'd have I fixed a place in a barn where it had an old punching bag. We used sawdust for a punching bag. We didn't have enough money to buy a punching bag. And then we used to train up over what they called the Weimer's pool room, and sometimes the people would come up and watch us, and the smoke would be so thick that you couldn't hardly see in there. They'd have to chase them out. And I did that for about 3 years, and I won the Golden Gloves one time.
How old were you?
In 1931.
How old were you? How old were you, Grandpa?
I was 14 years old. And there used to be about 20 of us kids. And we used to have a lot of fun. Most fun we had when we'd go swimming, we'd get a whole gang. Maybe there'd be 25, 30 of us, and we'd go down in the swimming hole. We had a place where we went swimming, we called the swimming hole. And we'd go there, and we'd play tag and chase one another around and dive in off the bank and that. And we enjoyed ourselves pretty good. Some of the summers would get pretty hot, and some of the winters got pretty cold. We walked to school, and they had they didn't have cement sidewalks. They had old wood sidewalks. Way down the road was up higher than the sidewalks, and the snow would blow and drift down in there, and sometimes it would be waist deep. Then sometimes when it would rain on that, when freeze, we could go walk right on the top of the snowbanks, and you couldn't see the fence post. We'd take our sled and slide right over the fence post.
Well, I
want to know where I was born. Yeah. Well, I was born right here in Monroe, over on 2nd Street, 1916. And I had a sister and 3 brothers. And it seemed like my brothers, well, my sister too, it seemed like they always got out of everything. I was the oldest of about the third oldest, and I helped my mother more than any of them. I used to help her when she'd wash. She'd had an electric washer, but she had 2 wash tubs on a long homemade bench, and that was my duty to empty these big tubs. I'd scoop it out a little bit at a time until I could, you know, take the tub and dip it because it was pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. And then we went to St. Mary's School from here on 4th Street, and that's a good mile or more. And before I'd go to school, I'd have to go around by a little grocery store over on Navarre Street and leave my mother's grocery list, because those days, if you had a telephone, you were considered pretty ritzy. And you didn't dare to go to borrow, use your neighbor's phone because that was, that'd wear a thin. They didn't like that. So I'd always took my mother's grocery list once a week or so over to the grocery store, and they'd deliver it, deliver the groceries in a horse and a carriage. And my mother could always tell when her groceries was coming. She could hear that horse coming, you know, clickety-click. You could hear that. Well, we swam too a lot when we were kids. And the Blue Hole on, at Mabee, and the Corey Hole on the North Dixie. And, oh, we more or less made our own fun in those days because they didn't have everything. Would have been great if we'd have had a McDonald's in our day. But we didn't have anything like that. And then we'd come home and then we'd entertain. We'd have potato chips or we'd pop corn or, you know, apples and nuts were great in the wintertime. That's what we ate for our treats.
Well, what was it like when you went to school? What type of classroom were you in?
When I first started, they had a little small schoolhouse. They had just the first kindergarten and the first grade in there. Then we went from there to what they call the Milan High School. That went from the second grade to the 12th grade. And we used to have a change classes just like they do now, the study room and that. And I graduated from the 8th grade, then I went up to the 10th grade, then I had to quit school and go to work. I came to Monroe then.
Where'd you work?
I worked at Stoner and Mowers and Detroit Stoker. Then I went to Toledo and I worked over there for a while. Then I worked construction for about 3 years. Then I went to Ford Motor Company in 1950. And I stayed there. I worked 27 and a half years there, and I stayed there until I retired in 1977. And I enjoyed my retirement pretty well. I used to go fishing and all different. I liked the garden and raise flowers and that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were in school, you liked to work in the garage.
And I liked to. I got a shop out in my garage. I liked to work around on that till I lost my eye and I can't see so good now, but I still putter around a little bit.
Well, when you were in school, what type of things did you do in classroom, like as far as studying or games or?
Oh, we had practically the same as they got now. We had arithmetic, English, spelling, geography, and history. Mm-hmm. And then further you got up in school, like in when you got up in high school, we had the same as now, Spanish and trichology and
Now, did you have to take them? Were those required? Or?
Yeah, some we had to take, and then you could take two or three subjects like you got now. Well, you could pick what you wanted to take, mm-hmm. but it's practically like the same as it was now, but you had to take at least two. And we had a lot of fun in school. We used to play basketball, football.
Well, you were athletic, weren't you?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Baseball, and about the same as they do now. But we didn't have, we didn't play as long, and we didn't have the best of stuff to do with, but
mm-hmm. didn't have equipment.
Yeah.
But we had a pretty good time.
Mm-hmm. Grandma, how about you? You went to a parochial school.
Yeah, didn't you? I'll start. I went to St. Mary's, and our day at St. Mary's would start. We'd go to Mass. That was right on the corner of Elm Avenue and Monroe. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd all march, you have to march. You had to go right down in single file to, you know, to your class, to the school. And then before we started school, we'd have a little prayer. Well, we had all nice classrooms, and I mean, they weren't too crowded. And then if a funeral ever would go by while we were having class, we could see the funeral come from the church. We always had to kneel down and say a little prayer for that person that was going by in the casket. And it was real nice at St. Mary's. It was clean and the nuns were nice. And we played when we played our games outside, we had games where a lot of children could play. I forget them, Farmer and Adele, but we played in big circles and I don't know, just remember all
Did
the names of the
rope?
Game. You know, we jumped rope and they had bars all around the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't a fence, but it was just a bar and we used to skin the cat and play on them bars, you know. And they had a ball, big basketballs, but we didn't play basketball when we were little like that. We just bounce it around or kick it or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was real pleasant. I always remember St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm. And you had to walk to and from school.
I had to walk to school in the morning. We never had snow days. That was out. Rain mm-hmm. or shine, you went to school. Mm-hmm. And I would walk. I'd say it's a good mile from here across. And then I always remember that bridge. It was so cold in the wintertime. We'd run. We'd get to the bridge, we'd run. But then we'd come home for lunch. And you have to go back again at, you know, in the afternoon. It was a lot of walking, but it seemed like we never minded it, and we never were sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, buses either.
No buses. Mm-hmm. If you got a ride once in a while, you were lucky. But nobody lived over our way except, you know, my cousin Maxine. Mm-hmm. Well, if her dad would come and pick her up, we'd get a ride home, which was great. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't very often.
Mm-hmm. But during that time, was the automobile, when you were going to school, was it?
They were scarce.
Scarce?
Mm-hmm. But I remember the streetcars running down Monroe Street. They'd run from Detroit to Toledo. And the car barns were right across the street from our school.
Mm-hmm. When I went to school there was, in my, when I was going to school young, there was only 3 automobiles in the whole town, and they was pretty well-to-do people. Mm-hmm. The rest of them all had horse and buggies. On a Sunday, my mother would dress us all up. Do you think we was going 1,000 miles? And my dad had a Siri with the fringe on the top. We'd all get in there and we'd go 3 miles. That was a long ways of the horse and buggy. Every Sunday we'd take that ride 3 miles and back.
Where'd you go?
Just around in the country.
Oh.
And we really thought that was a long ways. It was like going around a block, you know, mm-hmm. but it was all country. In the spring, the roads would be all muddy. You'd sink in up to the wheels. The car couldn't even go through there. Mm-hmm. But we used to always go through there. And every Sunday, we'd get a kick out of that. We'd dress us all up, and we'd take that ride 3 miles. Now you could go almost to Chicago and back. And we used to go to my sister. When she got married, she moved to Petersburg. And we'd go there, we'd have to leave on Saturday, early Saturday morning. And we'd get there maybe in the afternoon sometime. Then we'd stay all night and come back the next day. And in the wintertime, my mother, we didn't have no heat. We'd the horse blankets and that. And my mother would heat great big stones, hard-headed stones in the oven. And then we'd put them under our blanket with our feet to keep warm. So our feet wouldn't get cold while we'd go in there. That was a long trip to Petersburg, and that was only about maybe 9-10 miles, but that'd be like going 100 miles now with a car.
Something else I remember from St. Mary's, when we had to go to the bathroom, you just couldn't get up and go, or if you'd raise your hand and go. I mean, that was unusual. What you had to do, we had to wait, and we'd all go in a group, and I never... To this day, when I hear the Stars and Stripes Forever, we had to march to that, to the bathroom. Sister had a little record player, and she'd get them Stars and Stripes going, and that's how we marched out of her room, down to the bathroom, and back to our bathroom, back to our schoolroom with music. And every time I hear that today, I always think of that.
But your bathroom was inside the school?
Oh, yes.
Another thing I remember when we went to school, we had the seats that fold up, you know, and then when you put them down, there's cracks in it.
Uh-huh.
And 2 girls would sit ahead of me and my cousin, and we'd stick pins in our shoe, you know, and then we'd put that there and jab them, and they'd jump and holler. But they would never squeal on us, and the teacher would come. One time the teacher caught us, and she came over there, and she made us stay after school for a whole week. And then she broke us up. I could never sit with my cousin anymore. But he was always the instigator, but I was right back of him all the time. We used to do a lot of stuff. Sometimes the girls would sing in school, and we'd reach over and pinch them. They'd be singing, and all of them, they'd give out a yip. And the music teacher, she would get mad. And one time, Red Neely, he was a little small Irish kid. They kept us after school one night for doing something. I just forget what we did. We was always doing something. And she had one of them big heavy rulers, and she made us hold out our hand. And she hit me 5 times across the hand, and she said, "Does that hurt?" I said, "Yeah, my hand started puffing up." And then Red Neely, he was going to be tough, and she whacked him 5 times, and she says, does that hurt? And he said, no, and she gave him about 10 more, and his hand popped up about a half inch. He didn't say it didn't hurt after that. Well, he said, go ahead, Larry.
What type of social life did you have, like, you know, after school or holidays? What was it like during the holidays, you know, as far as if the family got together or...
Most generally on the holidays, we had a 40-acre farm. That was a lot of, that wouldn't be nothing now, but that was a lot of farm.
Take
in.
Care.
And my aunts and uncles all lived in Toledo and that, or out of town, they'd come over every Sunday. And it was just like a reunion. My mother would cook chickens and, we'd have all kind of stuff. Every Sunday somebody would come, either one of them or the other. And then at night when I got older, my sisters and I, we used to have a little hall uptown. We used to go to dances and that. And then we'd go to the show. The show at that time, they call it the Garrick Theater. It was 10 cents to get in. And then a lot of times when the kids wouldn't have money, they had a door in the back. We'd buy an old cook stove that they heated it with. And when somebody would walk out the back door, three or four would walk in without paying, and finally they caught on to that. But that was a lot of money then, 10 cents. We'd go down to, they had an old junkyard there, and we'd go down and find all kind of iron and copper and brass, and we'd sell that and to get enough money to go to that show.
What kind of movies did you have?
They had, my best one was Tom Mix. They had Cowboys. They had Tarzan at that time yet, and then they had a lot of these, like Charlie Chaplin, Ben Chasen, and all comedy. We used to like the comedy music. They had love scenes too, but we didn't care too much for that. But we went anyway to have something to do. We used to go every Saturday night. Saturday night was a big night in Milan. All the farmers would come into town and buy their groceries and bring their eggs. And then we'd meet some of them farm kids and we'd have a lot of fun. Once in a while we'd get a scrap. But we had a lot of fun. We didn't have much money, but we had a lot of fun. I think we had just as much fun then as the kids do nowadays. We didn't have dope and whiskey and beer and all that stuff. We didn't even think about it at that time. All we thought about was going to the show and having a good time.
Well, our Christmases were pretty much like today, but not so commercial. I mean, our folks would maybe get we never got a new doll every Christmas. What we got was a head, just the head. You could buy the head for the doll's old body, you know? And my dad was a carpenter, and he made my sister and I can remember, we were about seven, each a rocking chair and a table. And I got a doll and a sweater. We never went in big for Christmases, but we had a lot of food and a lot of homemade food, you know, cakes and pies, but it was smaller than now. People go out so big now for Christmas. We didn't have the money to do it with, mm-hmm. to begin with.
But it was more like a
But we always
family.
See, and we never went hungry during, you know, it was Depression days. Mm-hmm. But you know, now we had lots of snow like we've had this winter. That was common when we were kids. High as your fence almost.
Mm-hmm.
That was common. We used to forget it. We were going to have a big snowstorm. We never thought anything of it.
Our Christmases, I can remember, we used to, my mother would put us to bed early, and we had a big old black long socks. We'd take a safety pin and pin them together and hang them over a chair. And then in the morning we'd get up, we'd have peanuts and an orange. That's the only time we got an orange all year was Christmas time. Orange and this hard candy would stick to our sock. And then when we got older, we got wised up, you know, and we'd hear them in there talking, fulfilling our socks, and we'd look through the crack of the door and we'd see them. And then finally when I guess I was 10 years old I quit believing in Santa Claus, or they tried to make me believe in it. And then we would help them fill the other kids' socks.
Hey, you ask about entertainment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you remember when we used to go out there to, I can't remember the people's name, and we'd, you had your accordion? And you'd, they'd tear the rugs right up off the floor, roll them up and get them out of the way, and we'd
move
dance.
The stove out.
Move everything out, we'd dance. And, I don't know, square dance or
round
dance.
Square dance.
Then we used to go up to the, what would be the fork of the river, and ice skate.
Yeah.
Up near Grape somewhere.
Grape.
And we skated, and they had Dreamland Gardens where we used to go dancing.
Were there any folk tales, you know what I mean, by folk tales or stories that they used to tell you when you were little, or books or anything like that you read? Or?
My grandpa used to tell us all about the Civil War when he'd get there. We'd say, he'd tell us some of the tales. We knew he wasn't true, but we didn't dare to say anything. And we'd ask him, we'd say, Grandpa, didn't you ever get scared? He said, you never got scared until you see the bullet come with your name on it. Then that was the time to get scared. And they all, we used to laugh how they load their guns in. They was muzzle loaders. They would put the powder and that in there and then ram the whole rod down and spit down in there and take a big wad of paper and pack it down in there. And they'd only shoot maybe once every 10, 15 minutes. Now they got them guns that shoot as fast as they can come out of the barrel.
So he was in the Civil War?
My grandfather was in the Civil War.
How long was he in?
He was in there about, he must have been in there, as far as I can remember, about a year or two. He lived in Mooresville.
Well, I can remember my dad talking about babies, you know, never let a cat around a baby because when they drink their milk, this cat would sit up on her chest and smother the baby. Well, that wasn't true, but what it was, the cat smelled the milk.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't interested in smothering the baby, but if the cat, you know, was trying to get that milk and would accidentally sit up on the baby, probably it would smother him.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my dad telling about snakes, how they'd, their tail and head would attach and they'd roll down a hill.
That ain't true.
That isn't true, no. And another thing about how they'd come up and drink the milk out of your cup. Remember?
So but what were these stories? It's just a...
Just folks' tales. Something
kind of scare you in a way or warn you.
They did then, but now that we look back, it's kind of...
They were... some people believed in that, you know. They'd hear something. And it wasn't like now that you got television and radio and everything.
It went by word of mouth from one house to another.
You hear that right away now when something happens. Years ago, like if we'd hear about a storm 3 miles away, like a tornado or something, we wouldn't know it for maybe a month or two later. We'd get a paper, they call it, well, they call it the Milan Leader now. I don't know what, I forget what they call it then. We'd get it once a month is when we got our paper. We didn't get a paper every day, every night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we didn't even have radios or nothing. We had old phonographs we'd play, and my dad would play the violin, and my mother would play the organ. People used to make their own music, you know, entertain at night. They'd sit there and sing, play the organ and sing, and but now they got you, something happens in Europe, you'd hear about it right away, see, because they got television and everything. When I was a kid, if something happened in Europe, you might not hear that for a year later. If you lived down in the country, you might never hear about it, if you didn't take a paper or nothing. There were no radios or nothing. They had telephones, but very few had a telephone. And the telephones they had were not like they are now, dial. They hung on a wall, and you used to ring it yourself. You'd ring it, and then it would ring, then you'd tell a number, and then...
You had about 15 neighbors listening in on it.
My grandmother and grandfather, Boozum, my mother's father and mother, they used to live across the road from us, and my cousin Harold Jones, he rigged up a telephone of our own. We'd run the wires over to their house and had a telephone, and we could talk to them back and forth anytime we wanted to, but... it wasn't hooked up with anybody else, but just us, my grandmother and my grandfather and our house, you know.
But things has really changed since then. I know they had a tornado on the Ridge Road that's 3 miles from my dad's house. And I was standing in your yard, my brother and I, and we saw it, but we didn't know what it was or not at that time. And we didn't know it for a week later. That's only 3 miles away.
I can remember, too, my dad played the violin in the wintertime, and he made shadows on the wall, you know, with his hand, and showed us how to make, you know, a bird and all kind of animals.
Yeah, like a rabbit.
Indian. And another thing I can remember, we'd walk under a broom. We'd put the broom up and see if he could walk under it.
Like a limbo or whatever.
Yeah.
And for toys we'd want a hockey stick like they go to the store now, the kids, and buy them. We'd go out in the woods and find one with a big knot on the end of it or something. And that's what we used for a hockey stick. And then we used to take a lath and nail a piece across the end and take an old steel hook off a wheel, and we'd roll that all over the neighborhood, thought we was doing something. Then we used to do a lot of stuff.
Well, I can remember.
We made all our own toys. We'd go in a wagon, we'd go down to the dump, and we'd find four wheels, not one of them was alike, and make our own wagon, made our own sled. We had skis made out of barrel staves, and that's what we had. We made our own stuff and our own fun.
I can remember my dad made my brother's scooters.
Yeah.
You know, put roller skating wheels on the bottom of it, mm-hmm. and he made all of our sleds. We never had a boughten sled, and we used to envy the other kids that had the boughten sleds. We thought they were better than ours, mm-hmm. but we really had the better one.
Yeah. Another thing we used to do, I forgot this, we did in the summer a lot, fly kites. We'd make kites and see which one could make the biggest one and go the farthest. And my mother, she wove rugs, and we'd get that big balls of string from her, and man, we really fly them kites high, and then sometimes they'd break. Well, I knew I could get some more string, so I'd never try to save my string. I'd always just let it go. And the neighbor kid, Iggy Rosinski, lived back of me, he collected that, and he had a ball of string, I bet you was about, almost a foot in diameter, you know, he'd save it. Every time I'd go fly a kite, I wouldn't wind it back up, I'd just let her go. But then I'd catch heck from my mother when I'd get home.
Yeah. Okay, do you have the radio in those days? Did you have a radio?
No radio.
Now, when did the radio
come out? The radio first come out was, we listened to, 1928, we was listening to Tooney and Dempsey fight, and my brother bought a radio, and it run off a car battery. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have electricity in our house until 1930. I remember listening to that fight in 1928, Jack Dempsey and Gene Tooney. And you had to watch your carpet. You put something underneath that battery because that acid from the battery sometime would leak out and get on the carpet and eat a hole in it. But that's the only radio we had. Before that, we never had a radio. We didn't know what a radio was. We used to have, I'll take that back. We used to make them. They used to call them a crystal set. You'd have a little crystal, and then we'd take an oatmeal box and wind wire on that, and then another piece of brass across there with a little thing that run it back and forth. Then we hook up a big aerial outside from a tree to the house or the barn or something, and that was the aerial. And then you had a headphone that you put on, and sometimes we could see who could get that build the best crystal set and see who could make it come in the loudest. And sometimes you could lay that your headphones on the table and almost hear that music coming from there. Then we would run, we thought that was so good, we'd run clean down to my cousin Pete Bortles about 2 miles and get him to come back and listen to that, how it sounded. And then they would try to make one similar to that, you know. All kind of stuff. Then we used to hunt a lot in when I was a kid, I used to hunt a lot too, and trap. I trapped and hunted. That was a big sport in the wintertime, my brothers and I, and we used to trap and hunt a lot. And I used to fish a lot in the summertime. My sister Edith, we'd go fishing, and we'd go fishing about every other day. And we didn't catch the best fish, but we ate them. They wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
We made our own fun stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any, do you think it's difficult growing up when you were, you know, back in, what, 1930s compared to the children today, or do you think it's about the same?
It was different then, because then, now if a child wants something, he asks his dad for it, and he goes to the store and buy it for him. But when we were kids, we didn't get all that stuff, and we had our clothes, most of them was handed down to us, or our cousins or somebody would outgrow them, and they'd bring them over to us, big bundles of clothing. And that's, but once in a while, like for your birthday or Christmas, we'd get something new. And we wore, what the kids don't know now, no wonder they get cold, we had wore long underwear, and socks come clean up above your knees.
So
we wore a lot of stocking caps.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't have too much bought in clothes. My mother used to make a lot of ours. My mother would, one thing I remember, she used to take my brother's shirts and she'd make them smaller for us, but she'd never make the collar smaller. And after I put the shirt on, I could take my hand and stick it right in my collar like this, or would be so big. But we was always dressed warm and dressed, we was always clean. But most stuff in them days, we didn't go to the store and buy like these kids do now, everything. It was all either handed down or made. Take made over from somebody else's clothes, they'd make it over to fit you.
So, well, I think life was a little easier when we were growing up. We didn't have a lot of things that are offered to the kids nowadays. You know, their choice of schools and their choice of studying, and if you fall behind in a class now, you can go and get help. Well, we couldn't. We were just behind.